Hey kids, Jeff Hawkins from Shake Them Ropes here, and for almost 15 years we have been part of Voices of Wrestling. Myself and Chris Novembrino give a review of that week's news, the lazy river of wrestling criticism of that week's WWE and AEW, and then Vader Club, where we watch something from one of our past, or something we may have missed. Smart, snarky, and sometimes serious, but not always. That's us, and if that's your vibe, we'd love to have you listen to Shake Them Ropes every week on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
And welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am back here on the show, joining, of course, my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, thanks for holding down the show last time around.
Happy to do it, especially when I had you out on a location working on building our version of Worse Marigold.
Building a version of Worse Marigold? How is that possible?
Well, because Marigold is Worse Stardom. So I was like, all right, what if we do Worse Marigold?
Sure. What's going on? What's happening?
You know, it's the summer, so it's time for me to get reacquainted with the hospital cafeteria. You?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I should mention anything, so I was trying to leave it open there for you. It's our annual summer tradition. I go away randomly at one point,
yep,
and then Kelly spends a lot of time in the hospital.
Yeah, he has someone have a medical emergency, and then they go to the ER and a man takes the scissors and digs a bunch of garbage out of your mom, and then she's there for a while. So that's what I'm up to.
Well, hopefully we can pep you up with some wonderful Joshi wrestling action.
Oh, I love wonderful Joshi wrestling action.
There was a lot of it, and I have to say, not to put the cart before the horse, as they say, but a lot of good Joshi action,
yeah,
in my
pretty
opinion.
Good stuff.
Some exciting things. We had the end of the 5-star Grand Prix happen. We had the end of the Tokyo Princess Cup happen, and we had much more, including one promotion claiming 3,920 people attendance at a show. Can you guess which show? I couldn't. Not the show you think.
Nope.
No. So we're going to dive right into it. Not going to talk about every match on one show, but we're just going to hop around. But we are going to start with Stardom. Stardom's 5-star Grand Prix coming to an end on August 23rd. Before we get into the individual matches, we will talk the final standings of the 2025 edition of the 5-star Grand Prix. 4 blocks, of course. In the Blue Stars A block, Yuriahime, one of only 2 wrestlers to finish with 0 points, pretty logically. Aya Sakura had 4, Miyu Amasaki had 6, Ruaka had 7, Saida with 8, Bozilla with 10, as well as Ami Sorei. They faced off against each other, and the winner, the number one in the block, was Sari Ono. Kelly, any surprises in that point total?
Not really. I think everyone pretty much ended up where I thought they would.
A good showing for Ami Sorei in the tournament.
Yeah.
Had a nice, good... I don't know what the rounds are. I'm very confused, like, what to call the rounds. A very good 2-3 matchup round. what, like, quarterfinals? That's not the quarterfinals.
No.
Right?
No. Because you can't even be, like, block finals or whatever, because that's not how these are structured.
The block semifinal?
So... What would that be? On Wikipedia, they call it the playoff match.
Okay. Had a good playoff match. We'll go with that. And Sayori, of course, very solid. Blue Stars B, Momo Kogo down at the bottom with 2. Konami with 6, but got a title match out of it. Hina also at 6. Rana at 6. Hanako at 7. Momo Watanabe at 8. Suzu Suzuki at 10, and Seri, the villain of all of Joshi, seemingly, with 11.
Look, she's just too good. She's too good. Everyone hates her for it.
Yeah. I'll talk more about that when we talk about the individual matches, because I have a thought. No surprises here, I would say. I mean, she isn't really second to last because there's 3 people tied with 6, but I'm probably not the place you would want to be.
No, you would think she would end higher than Hanako.
And not tied with Hina and Rana.
Yeah.
Red Stars A, Waka Tsukiyama, Yuna Mizumori, and Lady C all finishing with 4. Azusa Inaba with 6, Maesir with 7, Hanan with 9, B. Priestley with 10, and Saya Kamatani, the best results from the round robin with 12 points, the only person to get to 12 points. It was announced that B will be a regular Stardom roster member.
Oh, no, thank you.
Going forward.
No, I'm good.
So the second place, not surprising. And again, I mean, you sort of look at this and you're like, not that many. I mean, Hanan doing well, but she's obviously getting some wind behind her,
mm-hmm.
some wind in her sails. And there's really no one else in this group that you're like, oh, what? Why weren't they up high?
Yeah. Yeah. Why wasn't Wakasukiyama in the double digit range?
It should have been number one, Waka, number two, Lady C. Flip the bracket.
Yep.
And then the Red Stars B block, Rion, the other participant, with 0 points. Sayaka Carrara with 4. Natsuka Tora with 8, along with Starlight Kid and Tomika Inaba. Rina getting 9. Azumi 9. And Natsupoi 10. I mean, Rina probably has to be the surprise of the tournament to get to 9.
Yeah, for sure. And Starlight Kid being that low.
I mean, they're all pretty close. They're true, 1 point yeah. apart between, you know, 5 of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think one different result could have been Tora. Thankfully, it wasn't. But, yeah, I think pretty... Nothing too wild, I think, here, except maybe Rina. Depending on
yeah, I was hoping Rion would get a win by the end of the tournament, but there's always next year.
So how did we get to the end? Well, on August 20th, they had the cage match calls them quarterfinal matches. So we're back to the confusion of what these things are called. The quarterfinal and semifinal matches. It started it's quarterfinals with the 4 quarterfinal matches. Suzu Suzuki defeating Bozilla, Azumi defeating Hanan, Momo Watanabe defeating Ami Sorei, and Rina defeating B Priestley. Sort of lumped these all together because I thought they were all good, but I don't know that any of them were great.
Yeah, they were all fairly good. Like, my notes for Azumi beating Hanan just say, pretty standardly great Azumi match. Where it's just like, yeah, we're just used to that level of quality out of her. And I did enjoy Suzu versus Bozilla. I thought that was a fun brawl to kick off the show.
I will note that I believe every Grand Prix match from here until the end had someone getting thrown into chairs.
They were doing that way too much.
Right? Am I crazy? I was
no,
like,
no, no. They were doing that way too much.
I was like, why every single match has to end up in these chairs?
And there was a lot of that on the next show, too.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I think every 5-star match and maybe matches outside of the 5-star had people going into chairs.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It also is weird because sometimes they go into chairs and you're like, wow, they really flew. And if you're going to do it every show, you're going to have at least a couple where you're like, well, you could have, you know.
Yeah. They only made yourself... it 2 rows in.
Yeah. You could have thrown yourself a little bit more into those chairs. You know, please. So, solid matches. Like I said, I didn't really... think. I mean, the biggest one was Rina. Probably was the results would be probably the biggest one in terms of yeah. Suzu defeating Bozilla and Rina defeating B Priestley. Going to be interesting to see what they do with Bozilla moving forward because she does feel very like Rossi, obviously,
mm-hmm.
you know, having also been in Marigold of like, I'm big and I do some things and then I leave.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like that's going to be what happens. So, you know, it is sort of good that they made her look strong. She got to the quarterfinals and then lost. So she has something to do as opposed to the Rossi booking, which would have been like she would have run over everyone mm-hmm. for a month and then lost the title match and disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And she's got the rivalry brewing with Ami Sorei, which is cool. And, you know, she's in the faction with Suzu, so she's doing stuff.
Then, after a tag match, non-tournament tag match in the middle of the show, we got on to the semifinals. The first semifinal, Sayori Ano defeating Suzu Suzuki. Kelly, what were your thoughts on this first semifinal match?
I thought it was paced well, but it's just got a little clunky for me at times, but I guess you should expect that with Suzu wrestling her second match that night. She's already not the smoothest wrestler, so when she's a little tired, then yeah, things are going to be a little clunky. I liked it well enough, though. I went 3.5 on it.
I actually liked all the semifinal matches quite a lot. I didn't really write down notes on these, but I think I would have gone like 3.75 or 4. I just thought they were good action, like Sayori. So like this one, good kickoff for the semifinals. The next match was Azumi defeating Saya Kamatani. This, for me, was the best match of the semifinals.
Yeah.
I went 4.5 stars. I thought it was really good. As we've sort of talked about on the show and are repeating now, like, Saya has gotten very good. As the initial Saya... what's the word I'm looking for?
Hater?
Saya doubters.
Well, here's the thing. I was thinking recently about Stardom and how much we used to complain about them and how, aside from hate, they have fixed everything that we said was bad about the company. And now they're in this new boom period, which tells me Jumping Bomb Audio was always right.
I mean, I'll say this. I knew we were right.
Well, yes, of course.
And that's why I was saying it. And, you know, I don't know how, if, whatever. We got some of our opinions on the show, we got really slammed for.
Yeah.
In various places. But we were right.
We were right.
There was like this blind devotion to something in Stardom,
mm-hmm.
where people were like, nope, everything is good. Everything they do is the exact right decision. They've never made a single wrong decision. But you had all these shows that people were going, oh, this match is the greatest match of all time. No match has ever been better.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of the world of Joshi, no one cared.
Nope.
They would watch these and they would go, yeah, it was fine. Now you're having these matches that are good, and people from outside of Joshi are watching and going, oh, they are very good.
Yeah.
Because it isn't just this like blind, like, yes, everything they do is correct. Stardom cannot make one single wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Saya was part of that.
She sure was. And that she has changed everything about her game that did not work.
And now very good. And Azumi, who I have been on the go back to episode one of this podcast. I promise you, episode one, I was talking about Azumi and people said, oh no, Azumi isn't that good. You know, she'll always be a mid-carder. She's whatever. She's fine. No, wrong. Same with Starlight Kid.
Mm-hmm.
People used to tell me, oh, Starlight Kid, she's fine, but she's, you know, a mid-carder. What, you know? No, wrong. Again. We were right. We yep. always were right, and we always will be right.
Yep.
We never make a mistake. But yes, this was my favorite match. Great match. Really well paced. I should say, Kelly, for you, I did watch both of these five-star matches and the Tokyo Joshi Finals with my girlfriend, who okay. turned against Daichi in the progress of the shows.
Hell yeah.
She became very annoyed with Daichi throughout the proceedings. And that's
crazy, because I feel like he has improved as well. Like, he is nowhere near as bad as he used to be, but he's still not great.
She was very annoyed with the count, with the cadence of counting. And also that, if you do notice, and I think sometimes we don't notice this just because we're like, oh, it's happening, is that Daichi sometimes is not looking at the pin when he is counting.
No, not at all.
And that was brought up multiple times, and I was like, well, You are right. I guess I'm not. I guess I just don't look at him anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like ref blindness where I'm like, as long as what needs to happen happens, I don't actually want to think or look at the ref in any wrestling that I
watch. A referee is best when you don't even realize they're there.
When you're like, they are counting. Is the count correct? Should the match be continuing or stopping? Is that all happening? Okay, keep moving.
You know who the best referee is? I don't know because I don't know their name.
Correct. So, yes. This, the highlight. Do you have anything more on Azumi Saya Kamatani?
I also loved this match. I also went 4.5 on it. I really like how a big part of Azumi's character now is just she's so resilient. Like, she fought off Bozilla and just kept, you know, fighting her until she tired her out and was able to win. And she just took all this offense from Saya and basically kind of did the rope-a-dope and eventually came back and beat her here, too. So I think that's fun. That's a good way to handle Azumi, who's, you know, very much on the smaller side of things, but she's just so technically skilled and smart in ring as a, what, she's already got to be a 12-year veteran at least.
Is it that long?
It's close.
Azumi is
11 years.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I'm like, I haven't been watching that long, but I guess I have because I was watching when Azumi started.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm like, uh-oh.
That's because we're old now.
Oh, no. And I'm like, it can't possibly be 12 years. So I'm like, nope. It isn't 12 years. It's 11 years.
Yeah, that's so much better.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, is a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
She's going to be on the 30 for 30 for another 8 years. And she is already a 10-plus year veteran.
The semi-final was, to me, the funniest match of any of these shows. Momo Watanabe defeating Seri in 15 minutes, 13 seconds. Like, I know the whole thing with Seri is she's like, oh, I'm better than all of you.
Yeah.
Like, get lost. And, you know, stardom, like, all these stardom wrestlers, blah, blah, blah. And that's why the fans are booing her. But I'm like, against hate?
Yeah.
I'm like, there's blatant cheating, and everyone's sort of like, and then everyone gets out of the ring, and they're like, yeah, Momo! They're just like, I do not see. I do not see the cheating.
Everyone is Daichi.
Let's move on. Like, but part of it is like, hate is such a useless group that you're like, they're so stupid that I'm like, yeah, no wonder you can ignore this blatant cheating because you know they're just this dumb group and you're more focused on booing Seri. It was just very strange. Another thing, I was watching with my girlfriend, and I was like, Seri is great, blah, blah, blah. They come out, they start booing Seri. She's like, why is this happening? I was like, I was like, well, funny story. She said she was better than everyone else, and she was like, but didn't you tell me she is better than everyone else? And I was like, well, yes, but, you know.
Yeah, sorry is the ultimate, why are you booing me? I'm right.
Yeah. So I also thought this was a very good match. I think I went 4.25.
That's where I was too.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I think the weirdness of like who's getting booed, like the baby face is doing this thing and getting booed and the heels are cheating and you're like, hooray, is a little to me like I probably can't go higher than that just because it's so strange to me. But very good.
I think it was a case here where they went to like the interference well one or too many times. Like, there was a point where I was fine with it, and then eventually it got to the point where I'm like, oh, okay, can we calm down with this?
And then the main event of the show, the final semifinal, was Rina defeating Natsupoi in 13 minutes and 21 seconds. Another very good match. You know, Rina, a sort of star-making week for her in many ways, and this was part of it. Winning this match, another very good match. I think I went 4.4 and a quarter again. Just thought these were very well worked. You know, you look at the times and they're not staying out there for 25 minutes, like doing these long epics that they sometimes can get caught in. It's like this fun, where I think they're best is like quick paced, even at the end when it's like, oh, we're tired, we're working hard, we've hit all these moves. They're not just laying around for 3 or 4 minutes selling. It's like, okay, we're tired, but also we're getting fighting spirit and we're fighting back. Or maybe one of us is down and the other person is doing something. So I thought the pace of all four matches really was very good, but especially this one. So really a very good top four.
Okay, for sure. I didn't like this match as much. I went 3.75 on it. I don't see it in Rena as much as other people do. I think she's good, but I just don't see her as like a top of the card person. But I thought Poi did a good job here, and it was a good match.
Then we moved on to August 23rd at Oda City, right? I didn't write it down in my notes.
That sounds right.
Oda City General Gymnasium in front of 2,856 people. No, not that 3,000 number that you I was talking about earlier. Where we had, I guess, Cage Match also calls these semifinal matches. So we'll go with that. The first semifinal match was Azumi defeating Rena in 15 minutes and 33 seconds. I'm sort of broken recording here, but I thought this was a great match. I went 4.25 stars.
I was 3.5 on this one. I thought the crowd was just crazy hot for this match, and it really felt like it could have gone either way.
And then in the other semifinal match, Momo Watanabe defeating Sayori Ano in 14 minutes and 2 seconds. Another match I enjoyed, probably not the best match. This was another, you know, some interference. And I think, I don't know why, but in my brain I was sort of like, this interference is okay and this interference is not okay. How did I decide that? I don't really know.
You just go by vibes.
I think there is a thing where you sort of get to a point where you're like, okay, she can't cheat to win every match.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about for the main event. But it was good. You know, happy to see, as again, another original Momo Watanabe fan. Happy to see her get a push. And we'll talk more about that in a second. And not these fake pushes that are like, don't you know she's getting a push? She's getting one title shot a year that she loses. It's like, oh, cool. Great. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought this match rocked. I went 4.5. It felt like this could have been the finals because they were working their asses off and just dropping each other on their heads a bunch of times. Cool, just brutal shit. Daichi was bad here. And he was out of place for interference spots more than once. And I think that's the kind of stuff where it's like, that gets me, where I'm like, you just call DQ. You saw that. Don't pretend you didn't see it. You saw it.
Then they had two title matches as well on the show. The Future of Stardom title, Hina, the champion, retaining her title against Rana Yagami in 11 minutes and 14 seconds. Thought this was fine. Nothing really stood out for me. I think tough in the middle of all of these great tournament matches to then be like, look at this Future of Stardom title match. What did you think, Kelly?
I liked it well enough. I went 3.5. Thought it was a pretty, just a strong match between the two. And I've been enjoying Hina's title run.
And then we had an IWGP women's title match. Sari, the champion, defeating Konami in 18 minutes and 15 seconds. This one hurt by knowing that Konami had no chance to win this match. I thought it was solid.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought the finish was great with Sari just headbutting the shit out of Konami and then dumping her on her head. Just good hard-hitting stuff. I think these two have really good chemistry. I don't care what the fans think. That's my fucking champion. I went 4.25.
And then the main event, the big one, the final match of the 5-Star Grand Prix 2025 saw Momo Watanabe defeat Azumi in 21 minutes and 11 seconds. Thought this was awesome. I went 4.75 on this one. Really good match. Classic Momo. And Momo winning, getting that actual push. Azumi, though, looked great. I think it's a great place for her. You know, where she sort of gets the push, but not the final push. And it feels like they are slowly moving her up, as they should. But I just thought it was great. Great near falls, hard hitting. I liked the spot where Hate went to interfere and Momo was like, no, no, don't interfere. Just because I like that, and I like being like, okay, if I'm going to win, I'm going to win on my own.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that didn't end up costing her the match either.
Yeah, I did think that. I had an inkling that she was going to win based on Azumi beating Saya. Because now Azumi has, you know, has that victory to be like, hey, I deserve a match some other time, where I'm like, well, they'll probably then give it to Momo. But yes, I also did think, oh, now it's going to cost her and she's going to be like, oh, I should have kept cheating, which
I gotta cheat double now.
Yes, and I was glad it didn't come down to any of that really mattering, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just a great final match. I mean, two great wrestlers, really well worked.
Yep.
Hard hitting, everything you would want and expect from the final match of this tournament.
Yeah. And I think I have in my notes, like, I think you only get this kind of match when the two people in it know each other so well, and they both grew up under the same wrestling learning tree in Queen's Quest. So it's like they know each other so well and we're able to just kind of put together this perfectly flowing match.
So that is the end of the 5-Star Grand Prix 2025. But don't worry if you're sitting there thinking, ah, I can't believe I can't hear any more Grand Prix action being talked about. Don't worry.
There's worse stardom.
The Marigold Dream Star Grand Prix is still happening and may never end. That is happening. There hasn't been that many shows this week. There was a show on the 22nd with only two matches, and then another show that just happened yesterday. The current standings are in the Dream League, Reyeseto, Chiaki, both at 2, Maria and Sari Yamaoka at 4, Mayu at 5, Koke Amore at 6, Victoria Yuzuki at 8, and Utami up at the top with 9. Kazuna Tanaka at the bottom of the Star League, Miku Aono at 3, Chika Goto at 3, Mirai at 3, Chen Yoda at 4, Misa Matsui at 6, Nagisa Nozaki at 7, and Mai Sakurai at the top of the board with 8. Mirai, you fool. I mean, look, she's got 3 matches left. She technically still is in contention to win the block, I guess. But let me tell you, It doesn't look good.
No. I have a prediction of a Miku Aono surge to win the block because she still has 5 matches ahead of her. Oh, wait, looks, no, 4. She's got 4 matches. Never mind.
Someone's got a surge to win this block because it can't be Mai Sakurai.
It entirely could be Mai Sakurai.
I am being gaslit into this Mai Sakurai. This feels like, oh, we realized everyone stinks in this promotion.
Yes.
So I'm going to dig my heels in and I'm going to make sure this project that I believe in is going to just win.
I think it, well, it's crazy because if you, like, when I watched those first 2 shows, Mai Sakurai was like head and shoulders one of the best workers on that show. And I don't know if that means she's gotten better or everyone else around her is just so much worse.
I also thought this, I thought about bringing it up during the Tokyo Joshi stuff, but I'll just say it now, is my opinion now is we must cease talking about Marigold in comparison to Stardom. I know that Rossi came from Stardom. Obviously, there are Stardom wrestlers. Mayu just came over, etc., etc. They are not in the same league.
No.
As each other.
No, I really, the only comparison to make is that it's Stardom, but bad. It's all the things I hated about Stardom. He just took all the bad shit and was just like, all right, I'm going to make my favorite kind of promotion. Bad ones.
But I think you have to compare this promotion with Tokyo Joshi. That is the level. And frankly, I think Tokyo Joshi is ahead of Marigold.
Oh, smokes them.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Like, I was watching, and again, I'm sort of getting ahead of myself before we get to Tokyo Joshi. I was watching that Tokyo Joshi show, and I'm like, how is it possible that, like, Haru, this child, is better than 85% of the Marigold roster?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Toga. Are you taking Toga, or are you taking Rayo Seto?
Ugh.
In a draft, you know.
Okay, I'm trying to think of, like,
are you taking Suzume or are you taking Nagisa Nosaki?
Oh, you mean Julia we have at home?
Like, it's not even close. It's Stardom is major league.
Mm-hmm.
That is the major leagues. Tokyo Joshi, I think in many ways, is not aiming for that. I think they have, you know, Bushiroad is very behind Stardom, and we can talk about Cyber Fight and all that stuff. But I think in some ways, Tokyo Joshi is where they want to be.
Tokyo Joshi operates on very much the same frequency that DDT does. Like, DDT has no, there's no thought that they're going to overtake New Japan. Like, that's just not going to happen. So they are going to work on with their own niche and do what they do. And I think Tokyo Joshi is very much the same.
But, you know, you leave, you sign all these rookies to Marigold. You better have someone who can, you know, you're currently getting lapped in rookie development. by, of course, Stardom, Tokyo Joshi. I mean, Marvelous has come in and essentially saved the promotion.
Yeah.
By giving you these random people, you know, that are all better than the roster you have. And that's,
I like,
Marvelous.
They stole all these rookies from other promotions. And then we're like, you know what? We don't need to train you anymore. You're good. You're a finished product.
Yes, we know your father. We know your uncle.
Yeah.
So you're all good. Go wild. So yeah, it's just crazy to me. And I get why people compare them to Stardom. There's a natural comparison because of all the Rossi stuff and the roster. But it's like it would be like if we got on this podcast every week and we were like, well, Diana is not quite as good as Stardom. They, you know, these shows, I don't know about these shows. Diana's not quite as good. It's like, of course they're not. They don't have the roster. They don't have they don't have the funds. They don't have the whatever. And we don't do that. That would be unfair. And I think it's unfair to compare Marigold to Stardom because Marigold is a poorly booked, you know, talent depleted roster. And the excuse could be, oh, you know, they're a new promotion. They're starting out. They're trying to get young people. But I'm like, it is weird to me. It is a bit funky that there was all this talk of, oh, Stardom wrestlers, their contracts are 1 year and some of them are stuck and they're going to come over whenever, you know, their contracts run out. No one has come to this promotion.
Just
except
Mayu.
For Mayu. Just
yeah,
Mayu.
And really, Stardom doesn't need her anymore.
Yeah. She left, I think, mostly because Stardom was like, okay, well, we don't really have much for you, so go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I also wouldn't be surprised to see a world in which she's in Marigold for X number of years and then leaves and goes back to Stardom for 6 months for like, I'm going to retire.
Or she's in NXT.
Or, you know, she's somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think there was all this hype. Oh, this promotion. And oh, when Rossi was in Stardom, everyone was arguing, oh, he should be in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. Don't you know? Because look at these crowds that Stardom is drawing. And he's left and Stardom has increased all, you know.
Uh-huh. Stardom is better in every regard now.
He's such a great Hall of Fame guy. He can't attract any talent. You
the
know,
ones
the
he
booking
takes
is
are fucking bad.
The booking is predictable and bad. You know, I will say they had a Dream Star show yesterday. Kelly and I didn't get to it because it just happened. The main event was Utami versus Mayu. We were talking about it before the show, and Kelly correctly called that what happened with Utami and Mayu, they went to a time limit draw.
Time limit draw!
Like, there's no surprise here. Rossi is incapable of understanding that people need to win. You know, and Kelly, you may not see it in Rena, but Stardom said she's going to win a lot of matches and we're going to push her.
Yeah, no, and good.
They didn't do that by going, oh, she went to a time limit draw.
Yeah, I think we should have her and Mirai go to a time limit draw as a bunch.
So it's just goofy. And I may be sort of speaking to, you know, preaching to the choir because frankly, I don't really see anyone talking about Marigold anymore.
No, I think most people have turned on it by now.
So I may be preaching to the choir, but, you know.
I know one guy that watches it because he thinks it's funny. and that's it.
It's their own DDT, their own version of DDT.
Yeah, it's like instead of there being puppets. They're just like, look at all these terrible wrestlers.
But anyway, that is Marigold. They have the Dream Star Grand Prix going on, and it will keep going on. But what else is happening? Let's move on from that. Seedling had their 10th anniversary show, two title changes. The tag team titles changing hands, Mio Shirai and Natsu Sumire, defeating Ayame Sasamura and Itsuki Aoki, and then Hiroyo Matsumoto defeating Makoto to win the Beyond the Sea title. I don't really know about Seedling anymore. It just seems very random.
Yeah.
It's like you give Makoto the gold watch reign, I guess.
That's what that really seemed like.
It didn't really fit. Like, it just feels like they're waiting for someone to pull their funding. And they're like, well, we don't want to plan anything because this could end at any second, so we'll just do whatever.
Let's run some title changes to pop some houses.
In Oz on the 24th, they had a show, Kakaru retaining the Pioneer title over Ram Kaichou and Tsubasa Kuragaki, and Hiroyo Matsumoto and Zones retaining the tag team titles over Itsuki Aoki and Ryo Mizunami. There was a light tube death match on that show, which I did not watch, but I do want to watch.
Yeah. What's with everyone wanting to do light tube matches with Jun Kasai at the moment?
He's a cool guy.
I mean, he is a cool guy. It just like, it's very much seems like, well, that looks cool. Let's do that now too.
And then one of the other big shows of the past 2 weeks was the Tokyo Joshi Princess Cup Finals on the 23rd from Korakuen Hall. The main event seeing Miyu Watanabe defeating Arisu Endo in 20 minutes and 20 seconds to win her first Tokyo Princess Cup. She got to the finals a few years ago, losing to Yuka Sakazaki. So that very exciting. Kelly, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this match because I have my own thoughts.
Great, I'm glad well, you have thoughts.
That isn't the way I meant it to come out. I meant to say I feel a way about this match that I'm not sure is within the consensus.
Okay. I loved this match. I went 4.5 on it. I thought the build, like the construction of the match was very interesting because both of them were just kind of pushing forward like they were unstoppable. Like you had Miyu just with her strength, just beating the shit out of Endo and not really getting tired. And yet you had Endo who, much like Izumi that I was talking about earlier, just has the resilience to take that beating and keep on going and try and catch Miyu whenever she has the chance. So like I thought it was a really good dynamic and made for a fun match. I loved like the bit near the end when Endo was kind of just walking towards Miyu like a zombie and just went straight into taking the laser beam chop that looked awesome. So I thought they were both fantastic here. I thought this was a great finals, and I don't remember if I said, but yeah, 4.5. I went on it. I really enjoyed it. Now, all right. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I went 4.25. So
you
we
hated
were close.
It.
Yeah. I just thought it was great. Sort of like you said, I think at the beginning of the match, at least definitely on English commentary, and I think in the video package, they did this as well. They set up the sort of this is power and this is speed. And I thought in the match, they sort of did that in a way that sometimes in matches where they're like, it's power versus speed. And then they sort of just wrestle a match. And you're like, I guess it is. But like when Endo went on offense, she sped up the match.
Yes.
Where it was like, okay, she is moving around the ring. She's doing these things. And Miyu obviously with the, you know, swing and all the power moves and trying to lift her up, you know, having her on her back and taking her up the ropes. I just thought it was fantastic. I mean, Miyu, as I sort of am a broken record, with this. Just an amazing wrestler.
Keeps getting better.
Yes. And I think outside of Tokyo Joshi or Joshi circles is not going to get the credit because, you know, she comes out with the Up Up Girl. She comes out with the L-O-V-E song. And I think there are people who are going to be like, well, I can't take this seriously.
Taylor, this match was very silly.
Yeah.
An incredibly silly match. Couldn't take it seriously. There's puppets everywhere.
But
throwing
candy
on the ground.
I just thought it was great. I mean, Endo, you sort of keep that story going of, and it seems like, I don't know if English commentary is going off on their own, you know, doing their own work or something, but it does seem like the story is Endo is very good and cannot win the big one. And I'm very interested to see where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I would wager that Mr. Haku knows enough to go ask people like, hey, what do you want me to get across here?
I would think so, too. But I don't want to take it as like this is a proof, you know.
Yeah.
This is what is happening. I think it's a good story. And I think maybe necessarily they don't do it. But I think that is the story. I think it's interesting in relation to Suzume and that tag team, because I think at some point that tag team is getting back together, I would think.
You'd have to assume. I mean, they're such a great team. You'd have to assume they do.
So, just really interesting. I think, as funny it is that the past few episodes we've talked about the idea of the mid, like, there's sort of a missing mid-card in this promotion, that they've got a lot of wrestlers. They've got a lot of great wrestlers who are like not in the mid-card, weirdly, where I'm like, this is a very strong roster. It's just not balanced, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, look, Haru is getting a lot better. You know, Ren has only had a few matches, but has looked very good. You know, they're obviously starting to do something with Toga where it's like, hey, I want to be challenged. I want to be in these singles matches. You know, Yuki Arai, I don't know what's happening there, but beating Maki Ito, maybe not the biggest thing, but to me it was like, okay, at least we're not having this thing where Maki Ito is this suspended, like, she'll come back and just beat everyone.
Yeah, it's all the time. She went out looking at the lights, which is how you should always leave a promotion.
Like, Mifu Ishida is interesting. Wakana, Himawari. Like, these are not really mid-carders, but they're all people where I'm just like, wow, they could be, you know, is Toga in that progression of Mirai was before she left?
Mm-hmm.
She could be.
I think yeah.
I don't think she's quite on the level because I remember Mirai was like, oh, this person's going to be very good. But they have a lot of interesting parts and pieces that I'm fascinated to see what they do with all of them.
Yeah. And I think I saw Toga is going to be in a tag team with Yuna Manase going forward. And I think that team could be really good. And I think something like that will be a good learning experience for Toga, too, to work with a veteran like that.
The other big show of the last 2 weeks was Sendai Girls on August 24th in front of 3,920 fans. Kelly, do we believe this number?
Kind of. Because I know they had that gimmick with the tickets where people could buy them and then the tickets that were bought would go to like school children. So I could see people buying a fucking bunch of tickets that they themselves would never use, but like, ah, someone will get this. So like that, I could buy it. It might be possible. I don't know if there were that many people actually in the building. But with the thing they were doing, it is entirely possible that is the amount of tickets they sold.
That could be. I just looked at this card and I was like, what on this card is drawing almost 4,000?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people I like on this card, but like, okay, you have Seri in the semi-main. You just had Seri in the semi-main in Stardom on a big show that had a lot of big matches on it that drew
the day before
2,800 people. Like, I like Chihiro, you know, is it really Team 200 Kilogram and Lena Cross and Venny drawing 4,000 people? Like, is that it? Is it Jinsei Shinsaki?
There you go.
Defeating Super Sasadango Machine? I
that,
mean, maybe it's
yeah,
not
that was
Sapoy.
The drawing match.
Maybe it's not Sapoy and Starlight Kid in the opening match. Or, you know.
Did
I
you see
know.
That Natsupoi is doing like singing tours or singing like concerts now?
I did not see that. No.
Yeah, she had like a song. I saw. Why am I saying she's went on like a singing show? That's not. She played a concert. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I saw on, I think, Instagram pictures from her singing to a pretty full crowd.
She's a draw. Maybe
okay,
she's a, maybe she's a 4,000 person draw.
Looking at this venue, the last show that happened here was a G1 show from August 10th, 2024. And that show drew 2,600. So
What was the main event?
Yuya Uemura beating Yoda Tsuji. So like, it's not a great card, but maybe it's just this area they don't see many shows, and they're like, "Hey, this is a big one," and they went. I don't know.
But anyway, what happened on this card? Well, Aya Sakura lost the Sendai Girls Junior title to Yuna. We also had, of course, the classic Sendai Girls hardcore match. It was a hardcore tag team match. Aja Kong and Dash Chizako defeating Hazuki and Risa Sarah Kelly. What did you think of this match?
I thought it was awesome. I love these crazy Dash hardcore matches. And having Aja Kong in this one was a lot of fun. Dash and Hazuki both took a bunch of insane bumps. So this was a hoot. At some point, Risa Sarah got hurt, I think. But yeah, this a really fun match. I went 4.25 on it.
I thought it was fine. I think these Dash hardcore matches sort of are like high floor, low ceiling for me.
Yeah,
in that I'm like,
do that.
Okay, what's going to happen? She's going to jump off a ladder. She's going to go through a table. Like, she's going to do some frog splashes. And sort of the same thing happens every match. Like, Hazuki brought out that baseball bat and then sort of lightly bopped Aja Kong with it, and then they didn't really do anything else with it. And Aja, it's like fun to have her, but I'm also like, just let her stand still.
Let her go and take a nap.
And do wrestling. Like, don't make her go up the ramp and do a suplex, which the English commentator sort of buried, and I was like, okay. They were like, well, she didn't get that. And I was like, well, you're not wrong. And then the semi-main was Seri defeating Mika Iwata. Kelly, you watched this as well?
Yes. I thought this was a lot of fun. It was a good high-impact sprint. The booking makes no fucking sense, but like, I don't know. It was a good match. 4 stars.
And then the main event was Team 200 Kilogram defeating Lena Cross and Venny to retain their tag team titles. What else has been going on in Ice Ribbon? They had a show on the 24th with 3 title matches. Akane Fujita retained the Fantast Ice title against Totoro Satsuki. The International Ribbon Tag Team titles, Ancham and Yapi retained those, defeating Ibuki Hoshi and Kaho Matsushita. And then Manami Katsu defeated Misa Kagura in 15 minutes and 48 seconds to retain the Ice Infinity title.
That show never would have expected Ice Ribbon to still be around at this point. Like, well, when we talked in January,
this was a Corican Hall show that drew like 320 fans or something. I don't know what the technological, financial, any of that terms are with Wrestle Universe. I don't know. Like, is Sendai Girls getting a lot of money from them for streaming? I think it's been very helpful for Sendai Girls because you can see their shows now.
Yeah.
If I were Ice Ribbon, and I think partially it could be that they're owned by some other company and they don't want, you know,
yeah,
whatever. Like, Sendai Girls is not owned by any company. Marvelous is not owned by any company. If I were an Ice Ribbon, I would be running to Wrestle Universe and being like, please put us on your service.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst that happens? You draw less fans? I can't imagine that would happen.
Well, that's just more competition for Marigold.
But it's like, you're making this Wrestle Universe, you're like, it's the destination. And I'm not saying from Wrestle Universe, like, Wrestle Universe, maybe Ice Ribbon did go to them and Wrestle Universe was like, take a hike. But they have to do something.
Yeah.
Like, they drew 320, which I think was an improvement over their last Corican Hall show.
I'm pretty sure it was
the worst Corican Hall show attendances of all time. There's just nothing. And maybe they are like, well, we're making enough money renting out the dojo and just having the dojo and doing whatever. I don't know. I would just think you got to do something because we know that this promotion can be good. They've got some talent, you know, Ibuki Hoshi. They've got talent here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That was my thought. Again, saying it, not knowing technologically, financially, if it's even feasible, but try something.
Do they still do the YouTube gimmick?
I think they do, yes. And I mean, they're still running, so maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they'll keep running for the next 40 years, drawing a couple hundred fans to Corican Hall.
Yeah. Whatever works.
Don't know. That is everything that happened in the last 2 weeks of Joshi. What is coming up? Well, Stardom has a big show at Yokohama Budokan on September 6th. Kelly, this is really an up and down card. Listen to this. Seri versus Suzu Suzuki for the IWGP women's title.
Cool match.
Natsuka Tora versus Mayumi Ozaki.
Can Ozaki drag a good match out of Tora? I think she might be able to.
I think it will be interesting to watch.
Like,
will it be good? I can't say. It will be interesting.
If we get Police fighting the rest of Hate, that could be great. Like, if it just goes full Oz Academy and shit. Maybe Tora learns something from this. Who knows? So I'm putting my hopes in Ozaki, and I think she can pull a good match out of Tora.
Starlight Kid versus Tomika Inaba.
Cool match.
For the Wonder of Stardom title.
Cool match.
And then Saya Kamatani versus B Priestley for the World of Stardom title.
Oh, no thank you.
Just Stardom giveth and Stardom taketh away.
I have more confidence in Ozaki versus Tora being good than I have in Kamatani versus Priestley being good. Think about that.
Well, we'll have to see.
The Think true about test what would make me say that. That's the thing. Saya already had a match with B and it sucked.
Yeah, but that was just that wasn't a title match. So
I guess, but I don't know. B is just such a dud.
Well, she's going to be around for a while, so get used to.
Can we get NXT UK back?
And then on September 10th, Stardom will be at Korakuen Hall. Four title matches there. Hina versus Yuri Hime for the Future of Stardom title. Dark Saluda will face off against Koguma for the CMLL Japanese women's title. Mei Sierra will defend the high-speed title against Yuna Mizumori, and it will be a six-woman title match. Azumi, Starlight Kid, and Miyu Amasaki versus Rina, Ruaka, and Fukigen Death.
Fukigen I gotta Death, tell you, I forgot about their trios titles.
Well, I have to say that they posted, Stardom posted the announcement of the card just as the, you know, Hate versus Neo Genesis. And they posted the image of the six wrestlers, and I was like, oh, okay, Azumi, Starlight Kid, Miyu Amasaki, Rina, Ruaka, and I was like, what is Kaori Yoniyama's name in Start? Like, it went. It was not in my mind. It was gone. And I was like, what is her name? What is her? And then it finally, I got Fukigen Death, but I was like, wow, I have not thought about Fukigen Death.
God, these titles were last defended back in May. So they forgot about him too.
Tokyo Joshi will be having Go Girl 6 on September 7th. And also, not a major show, but just wanted to announce this title. Actually, Kelly, I'll let you say the title of this show happening on September 8th.
I want to collect 23-year-olds. The Big Meeting.
Yes, I think it's a show that's going to be about all their 23-year-old wrestlers, but I found that title very strange.
Yeah, like I pictured that being the title of like the next Hyper Missile Produce show. Like, it's the start of some little drama they're going to do or something.
And then in Marigold, we will have more Dream Star Grand Prix. And Kelly, what is coming up in Choco Pro?
On the 5th, they've got a show called Game Changer, and on that one you got the main event, a Super Asia title match. Mei Suruga, who just celebrated the 1-year anniversary of her holding the title, defending against Rina Yamashita. So that should be good. And also, I'm thinking, you know, Game Changer, you know, who works Game Changer, Maki Ito, you know, who just left Tokyo Joshi, Maki Ito, you know, I think she's making the jump. Think she's getting them chuckle books.
I thought you were gonna say, I don't know, who's in Game Changer Wrestling?
Bear Bronson.
Yep.
Slade is coming to Choco Pro.
Yeah, who's in Game Changer now that isn't part of the WWE ID program?
You know, now I'm thinking about it. Do you think Stardom has ever called Bozilla's friend Tank?
I don't think they have, and I don't think they should.
Do you think they should call the other Tank?
No.
Oh. You know, I think him versus Natsukatora could be good.
Well, we'll see. She's got to get through Mayumi Ozaki first.
Yeah. I think, okay, you take Hate and you give them the Reverend as their, like, mouthpiece, and I think that could work. I think that could really work.
I think these ideas are a sign that we've come to an end of this episode.
All right, so now Hate will be will consist of Natsukatora, Saya Kamatani, Jaden Newman, Tank, and the Rev.
Kelly, let's go in Kelly's corner. What do you have to say?
Fuck, what have I been doing? I don't even know. I'm drinking a bottle of Milo's Family Made since 1946 famous sweet tea, and it's pretty good.
Oh, I
saw Weapons. I saw the movie Weapons.
Oh, okay.
Did you see that?
I haven't seen Weapons yet. I do want to see it.
It's very good. If you don't know any of the twists, do your damnedest to not find out, because I kind of knew what the twist of the movie was going in. Mm. And it was one of those where I was watching it and I'm like, damn, I wish I didn't know where this goes, because
yeah,
a really well done mystery leading up to it.
Interesting. All right. I watched The Birds 2 last night.
Oh. How's The Birds 2?
Much worse than Birds. The Birds.
I bet.
But there are a lot of birds.
Oh, you know, so, yeah, you got so many birds, you can't keep them in one movie.
If you like birds, well, I would think if you like birds, you wouldn't want to watch Birds 2 because the birds are bad. You know, and also a lot of birds die.
Yeah.
One bird gets shot and blown up by a shotgun.
It's a lot like the Stardom fans yelling at Sari, but you're yelling at birds and when you're seeing the movie. You're like, boo, you're not better than the roster.
You're not better than humans.
Go home, birds.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio, but we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time with even more Joshi action. So for Kelly, I am Taylor saying so long.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends, to breakdowns of individual performers and angles, to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.